Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Joining us here shortly, Jennifer Fidler, our 9:30 guest. She will, I think she's coming in now. 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with me, your show host. If you so choose, let's knock out a few more texts here. I love the USA, but also have strong feelings for Liechtenstein, too. Does that mean I should not run for public office? You really have a lot of strong feelings, Josh, for Liechtenstein? Tim, I'm thinking Coach gets a lot of minority votes, too. And then one more here. How much would it cost to replace the timeshare guy's time slot? Well, he's not an attorney, so I don't know. That's an excellent question. Joining us now here at the FM Talk 106.5 Fairhope Bureau, our aforementioned guest, State Representative Jennifer Fidler. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, trying to make sense of this early election cycle. Well, how's vacation been? Or how's... should I call it a vacation? But yeah, you guys have been away for a little while now from the a couple of weeks. Well, I guess 3 weeks now, but or two and a half. How's it going?
Oh, it's going good. You know, I've had my town halls, or we had our District 94 town halls meetings, one in Magnolia Springs, and we had two in Fairhope last week.
What have we, what is on the minds of constituents in your district?
I think the top three things I heard in Fairhope was the mud dumping issue that we're seeing in Mobile Bay. They're very concerned about that. I haven't seen it with my own two eyes. They're actually saying they've seen the discoloration of the water over here. They're concerned about that. The library issue came up.
Of course, yes.
And there was one more thing that was like a hot topic, insurance. They asked, you know, what could we do? And there was like a couple people that asked about this, like, what can we do about these rising insurance costs since the, I guess, Hurricane Sally, and along with the inflation, we've seen just our insurance rates, you know, insurance costs just go up on our homes. So I had a couple people that were very concerned about that.
Well... the mud dumping thing, Representative, you or I dredged a boat slip and dumped the mud the way the U.S. Army Corps is, we would be thrown under the jail. Now, I mean, I don't know what the impact to the environment is. I don't know, you know, if it's good, bad, whatever, but it does seem like it's a double standard. What's good enough, you know, good enough for me, but not for thee. Now, look, you're a state lawmaker. There's very little you could do here, but I mean, is that justified?
I think that what we can do, or what I can do, is follow up on these concerns, and that's what I'm certainly planning on doing and doing. You know, and I talked to a little bit to the commissioner, Blankenship, and we're going to talk again and find out where he is on this. I don't know if Senator Elliott actually went out, I know, and did a tour with Commissioner Blankenship.
Well, they took a helicopter out and just watched it.
Yeah, but you can see it on video exactly what's happening. And I know his plans were to make sure a lot of that mud was coming and fortifying Dauphin Island, the road going to Dauphin Island. We saw some of that when we did some touring last year. I just haven't gotten that update from him, so I can't give you, the public, you know, where he is on that. And then the, the big thing is making sure that we've got that Port-a-Mobile active, the container, you know, keeping that economic engine going for the state of Alabama. But you would think that if this is actually doing what you hear some of the fishermen saying it's doing, because when you read the letters, they start talking about the layer of mud that's actually being put on the bay floor, and that's what's happening in suffocating some of the sea life, and that's what the fishermen and the oystermen, from what I've heard, are most concerned about.
Yeah, there's a better way to do this. Now, I don't know how cost efficient that would be, but clearly they could not just dump it in the bay, right?
Well, you know, I need to figure out from them, you know, what, like, is this their best management plan?
Right.
I mean, because government, being in government, you know, you do have BMPs, your best management plan, and they ought to know how much damage this is doing, if it's done any. I mean, they should have already done those studies. So it's just, you know, where they are on it. You know, you hear where the public is. You hear where our fishermen and oystermen are, because I've heard it. I'm getting those letters, and apparently people are seeing it over here. I just hadn't seen it with my own two eyes on the eastern shore, the mud. And so, you know, it's getting into it and getting into the details.
Well, you see the signs around town, stop them dumping or mud dumping, no mud dumping, but... That's my only, I don't know what the environmental impact, but I do know they're pretty strict about people dredging boat slips and where they dump.
Yeah, before this project started, of course, they had environmental studies, and they just didn't think it would damage anything, the wildlife. And the first thing we had heard, I guess, initially, which may be even, you know, 7 or 8 months ago now, was about the sturgeon, and it was... You know, this study that was done by a young person that showed the sturgeon issues. And so now we're hearing something different, and that's the layer, the thin layer. But, yeah, if you were doing your own boat slip, you know, you usually have to put that back onto the land or somewhere.
Right.
It wouldn't muddy up the waters, or that would be a BMP, your best management plan.
Well, let's keep an eye on it. You following any of the election hoopla?
About who's running for governor?
Governor, Senate, Congress, you know, everything.
A little bit. You know, of course, I know where Senator Tommy Tuberville's running for governor. I don't know who his opponents are.
I don't think he will have any. Well, he'll have some. Somebody will run to get their name on the ballot and maybe get it framed in their office or something, but... I think it's time probably for you and guys and your colleagues to start really, like, coming to grips with the reality of Governor Tommy Tuberville in 2027.
It certainly looks like we're headed in that direction.
I don't know what this is going to look like, and then I was kind of talking to Senator Elliott about it Friday. Machinery's got to speed up significantly with Tuberville taking the helm there from Governor Ivey. It's just... wonder what that relationship with the legislature is going to be like. I mean, I've seen governors kind of, you know, that's where their terms go to die, is when they get on the bad side of the legislature, you know, Republican or Democrat, because we've only been a Republican state with the legislature since 2010, and you've had pretty much Republican governors with one exception, one and a half if you count little Jim Folsom taking over for Guy Hunt. But it looks to me like that's just, I think it's just going to be a totally different place this time a year and a half from now.
Yeah, I guess time will tell. A lot of things can happen in a year. So a year ago, you know, from what we were talking about a year ago.
Ainsworth, yeah.
Till right now, it's certainly much different. So.
Yeah, well, it's... you're running again.
I am.
You are.
Yes.
Are we going to make that announcement here on the program?
Let's do it. I am running again, working on press release. I wanted to get my town halls out of the way this past week, make sure that was done. But, yes, it will be hitting the papers as soon as we finalize that press release and get it out there. But, yes, I am running again. I'll be on the ballot on May 19th. We changed the date, you know, from the fourth Tuesday to the third Tuesday. Of May is your Republican primaries are.
But they didn't want to have a Republican primary the day after Memorial Day, so they moved it up.
Yes, it was a costly venture because your poll folks had to get everything together, and they were coming in on Memorial Day trying to get that together, so it was costly for the public servants to put that together. But yes, I'm running May 19th is going to be the date. We can start raising money now since we backed that up a week. So I have the donation on my website, so people can go on there. And, you know, you can always – I have – every time we do any of these town halls and postings and just the whole, I probably spoke about 40 or 45 minutes regarding what the legislative session looked like. I'm going to post that if it's not already posted on the website. I have somebody, part of the campaign funds that I raise goes to pay for somebody videoing me and being able to put this on a media page where District 94 constituents can actually view what's going on during the legislative session. That's where I put my campaign money to make sure that that's ongoing. You can donate on my campaign page. If you would, that would be great. Anybody out there. I know I'm kind of
raising money here. The Jennifer Fiddler Radiothon here.
Fiddler for House.
No, it's good you're running again. I don't know if anybody is going to oppose you or not. I guess time will tell. But, that's typically the way it goes. You're an incumbent, and a lot of it's hard to knock off an incumbent. What we had maybe 2-3 incumbents last cycle. One was Will Dismukes, who had his own problems kind of tangential to what was going on in the legislature. Prancy Robertson up in Lawrence County lost to Ernie Yarborough.
Susan DuBose,
yeah, with Dickie
Fiddler.
Drake. And Jennifer Fiddler, who beat, we won't.
Okay, so you had 7,
Joe
I think.
Files, yeah.
Yeah, I think we had 7 last year.
Tommy Haynes up in Jackson County lost his race.
Yeah, Mike Kirkland came in. I can't remember which race that was. It could have been Dismukes.
Kirkland was North Alabama. Was the Tommy Haynes seat.
Tommy Haynes.
Very north, like very top corner, Scottsboro. But it's out of 105 members. It's hard to beat.
And then on the Senate side, you know, Jay Hovey
beating Tom Whatley by one vote. I still talk to Whatley on occasion. He's kind of come to peace with it. But that was crazy because he raised so much money and still lost to Jay Hovey. But then it's one we'll be talking about for a long time. And then what, I guess everything else. I mean, we'll have a few retirements, I would think.
Oh, yes, we will. We'll have a few people not running again. And I'm sure they'll make their announcements if they haven't already. But and the caucus, you know, we're aware of it. You know, we're aware of what's going on, you know, throughout the state. So,
well, you talk to these guys on a regular basis. You're probably more plugged in than I am on that front. But it's, and I'm not so sure you won't see a member or two step out of line here and take a shot at something statewide or, a different office, a public service commission or something like that, and forego running for reelection as well. That happens.
Well, we've got some great members. I mean, we've got some great conservative members. It's been a pleasure, really, to serve with everyone. One of my, I guess, pleasant surprises about all this is the wide array of people, the different talents that we have in the House of Representatives and, in the Senate, and just like the knowledge, the breadth of knowledge and common sense, and we've got a lot of great representatives, and I don't know, kudos to you guys out there. I love serving with you.
You'll have a new freshman class, and I don't think a lot of people, they kind of have an idea of what they're getting into when they run for this job, but it's probably a lot different from what their expectations were.
Well, certainly mine were, because I was not, the first time I walked through the state house doors was I was a nominee for, I had already won the primary. So that was the first time I actually walked through the State House door. So, I mean, I was aware of the process, and I loved it, you know, gone to the Capitol, even been to an inauguration. But as be part of the whole process, it was certainly eye-opening. And I knew, I think I felt like I had quite a bit of knowledge about the governmental system, just being the public works director and serving city county government for 25 plus years, knowing about different departments, working with the different departments, grant programs and that sort of thing. Doing all that certainly was a lot of experience coming to the table and understanding like the different branches. I kind of knew, like understood that part, but actually serving and being on the, being able to go through the process, I still learn so much every day. But that first year was just absolutely like, what is going on? I mean, some days I'll just come home going, now what happened? And I'm piecing it together, processing it. Okay, I get it now. And I'm constantly watching what the Senate's happening. I do have, even anybody out there listening, you can always go on the Alabama legislature's website and watch us live on the House side or on the Senate side. And I've constantly have the Senate going to kind of see, you know, what's being held up there, what's going on, you know, what's being passed. Right. It's a lot of moving parts.
I mean, I go between the two chambers back and forth. And I'll spend some time down upstairs in the Senate. I'll come down and watch you guys in the House. It looks like someone kicked over an anthill. Let's get a break in here. We got Jennifer Fiddler in studio for one more segment. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again. Mona tried to tell me to stay away from...
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Monday morning.
Just drink up your blood.
Text line 251-343-0106. And we got a few to get to. We'll get to those in the next segment. Just hang tight and I'll respond accordingly. Still with us for just a few more minutes here, our, one of our Monday regular state representative, Jennifer Fiddler. The I guess the, we're going, kind of going through your packet there. The THC hemp bill. No one was really happy with it. The pro-marijuana crowd and the anti-marijuana crowd, both, like, not good with either. How you feel about it? I mean, I feel like it's still got some work, maybe tweaking that could be done to it later on, maybe in a future session.
It does. I think we all knew we had to do something. I came across this issue, I guess, I don't know, a year or so ago, where you can buy these Delta 8, Delta 9s, and there's all these synthetic compounds in it. We had folks showing up to court. They'd get popped top positive for drug tests. The judges were having an issue in the court system, having all this come and, you know, come to find out these folks were on Delta 8 or Delta 9. I'm taking a tour here locally of a medical marijuana facility or CDB, the THC, and they're telling me that they can go down, you know, on the convenience store and buy something that's illegal in Colorado because of the unregulated synthetics that are in some of these products. The public thinks that they're safe because there is this public trust that people have with what they buy. And so to me, it was just, and I think most of us felt the same way. It's not perfect. We knew it needed some tweaking, but we had to get something in place. It went upstairs, you know, it passed without debate, really. Representative Witt got it through the House, got it upstairs. We were told it needed to be, you know, tightened up some. I agreed with that. When it came back down, you know, the people that I've talked to that wasn't for it is saying, I need more. I take this for anxiety. I need it because it helps calm me down. And in my mind, if you're taking it for a medical purpose, that we should have some sort of label. I think it should be labeled as such.
Shouldn't we, like, be speeding up the medical marijuana process here that was passed in 2019? If you're going to take this away and people have their reasons for taking it, whatever it does. You're leaving them high and dry, and you've got this, like, protracted, long, going on and on court battle because the medicinal marijuana legislation bill passed. Well, it was before your time, I know, but it's been lingering there for years.
It has been, and I've heard a little bit about it, and I don't know if you remember us talking about it, but my family actually grew hemp back in 2019 whenever the farmers in Baldwin County were told, hey, y'all can do this, and everybody, all of them, and everybody thought they were going to be the next millionaire in Baldwin County, all these farmers, you know, that are struggling, and of course, they lost so much, 60% of the crops were lost on our farm ground. Well, we need to continue this conversation.
We will.
You'll be out of time.
You'll be back. State Representative Jennifer Fidler, thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, we'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. And look the same, what you see.